The materials on this podcast are for informational and entertainment purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for actual medical or mental health advice from a doctor, psychologist, or any other medical or mental health professional. Welcome to the Love Approach Project podcast. This is your host, Laura Gutierrez. And I want to welcome you to our second season together. During this season, you will get to listen to the interviews from my recent summit, Love in Times of Uncertainty, in which we focused on bringing you empowering resources, wisdom, and tips that you can start using in your day-to-day life, and especially when you're going through challenging times. It is my intention that the 12 interviews from this second season support you and empower you in living the life that you deserve. Enjoy. Welcome everyone to Love in Times of Uncertainty Virtual Summit. This is your host, Laura Gutierrez. Thank you for joining us here for this amazing interview. We're going to be talking about a topic that not many of us, and in general, not many people think about, which is the relationship between stress and our beliefs. And so for this topic, I have a beautiful guest, someone that I actually interviewed for my podcast before, but perhaps you haven't heard from her. Her name is Mariana Ardelean, and she is the founder of Empowering Strategists. She's a success strategist. She's been in the health care industry for over 20 years, or nearly 20 years, actually. And she's also the author of the book, Your Time Is Now. So welcome, Mariana.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here, to be back here with you, Laura, again.
Yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I'm so happy that you are here because I know that the topic that we're going to talk about is something that you are passionate about. So what if we actually start with learning a little bit about you and how you got into human behavior?
Oh, wow. That started quite a little while ago when I never thought I will be doing what I'm doing currently. Mm-hmm. And such is life, from one surprise to the other. And when we have children, we don't know that they are here to teach us lessons, the lessons that we haven't learned possibly in our life growing up. And as my son was growing up, I started having problems with him, behavioral problems. And one thing led to another, and going to all the health professionals, going to psychologists, to psychiatrists, to doctors. Everyone was saying, well, it's nothing you can do. He needs to choose to change. And somehow I did not believe that, but no one told me that I needed to change. So, and that went on for a little while, around 9 years. So that was kind of a long time to be going through. In a way, it was kind of a turmoil at the time. And every time he was doing something, misbehaving, obviously in my perception, that what I was seeing as I was reacting to his behavior, because to me, his behavior was not acceptable. And one thing led to the other, and I start looking into human behavior and why we do the things we do. And I landed at the coaching institute, and then I made a decision I would love to become a professional coach, thinking that I'm going to help my son. That's what I thought at the time, at least. I didn't know that I needed help myself. I was like, you know, it's not me, obviously, it's him. I'm not the one using substance abuse or misbehaving or getting in trouble. He's the one, you know, it's not me. But my behavior towards him and the way I was reacting to him really contributed to his behavior. But I didn't know that. We don't know what we don't know. So that's how I landed to become to do what I'm currently doing, helping others change the way they look at things and their perception and their point of view. And the thing is, nothing changes until I change. And when I change and I wasn't reacting to his behavior anymore, then he changed as well. Wow. So that was really, really powerful to me. And yeah, change things around completely, but nothing changed until I did. And I was thinking, I was attempting to really control his behavior. I wanted him to do things my way because I thought I'm the parent, I know better, because that was my belief. I was, and it all started and went downhill by me choosing his year 11 and 12 subjects. And they weren't the subjects that he wanted. They weren't what he wanted. And I chose that for him. To the point that he ended up dropping out of school. And then it went downhill from there. So it all started and went on for about 9 years, unfortunately. Yeah. But looking back now, I am glad that I went through that. And I never thought I would say this, but I am glad that I went through that in my life to be able to see things from a different perspective, to learn what I needed to learn so I can grow myself and now be able to help others as well. But back then I was thinking that was the worst thing that could happen to me, especially as a parent. I was thinking, oh, you know, that's not acceptable. Now I'm glad I went through that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Mariana, for sharing all of that. That's a very touching story and very intimate. And so I think it's beautiful that you've shared it, because it's important for all of us to realize that we can turn around things, especially after having gone through a difficult period of time with our loved ones or with people around us or just within us, just with us. And that I love what you said around it was you, it had to start here with you before the outer world could change, you know, before you could see that effect. So this leads us now into the topic of our conversation, which is beliefs and stress. So let's begin with that. So what do they have in common? What do beliefs and stress have in common?
Wow. Our beliefs lead to our thoughts, and our thoughts leads to our feelings. And then we either react to the situations or we respond to the situation. So our beliefs play an essential part in our life. And the thing to understand, and I did not see any of this, we grow up, we definitely... every single one of us, depending on where we grow up, we pick up beliefs, first of all, from our parents, and then from the culture, from the people around us. And all our beliefs are passed down through the generation, through the family, through the teacher, through the religion, through the culture that we grow up in. And this stems even from the time that we are conceived. And first of all, we condition genetically and then environmentally to believe what we believe. And unless, and most of us don't question our belief. I definitely didn't question my belief, because I was firmly and strongly thinking that what I'm thinking and the way I'm doing things, it's the way, because I'm the parent and I know better. And it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. Attempting to control the something from outside to give us a sense of security within, and that's what I was attempting to do with my son. I was attempting to control his behavior so I can feel better, but that was my belief. I was firmly convinced that that's the way.
Yeah.
And it came down to me believing in education, and then education is really important. I mean, who says that? I mean, there's a lot of people that necessarily did not finish university or have a PhD, and they are very successful. And I mean, yes, there are some people that are not, but there is a lot of people and there is a lot of evidence that you don't necessarily need to finish university or have a PhD to be really successful and to be really good at what you're doing and enjoy what you're doing, because that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Because if we enjoy what we're doing, we really good at what we're doing as well. At least that's what I believe right now.
Yeah. And so basically that relationship between beliefs and stress goes hand in hand, right? Because we make our decisions based on those beliefs.
And definitely.
We give meaning to stuff based on those beliefs.
Yeah, definitely. We put meaning to everything that we believe. And depending on what we believe, we attach meanings. And then from the meaning that we give it, we've got expectations. And if when our expectations are not met with the beliefs that we have, then automatically we react, because it's not what we believe. It's not by our expectations, by our standards. It doesn't meet what we think it should be, the why we think it should be. And our mind, it's definitely meant to be the way we think it should be. It can't be any other way. It has to be our way. And that's why we struggle and we end up being stressed and we end up being anxious, because when we believe something and we expect something and it doesn't work the way we think it should work, then we suffer.
Yeah.
Because we don't see it any other way unless it's the way we believe and the way it should be.
Yeah.
And that puts us in a lot of stress and anxiety and suffering, and we react, because in those moments we are not responding to the circumstances, we are reacting to the circumstances around us, and we suffer.
Yeah, that is something that perhaps not many people are aware of, you know, like the suffering, suffering becomes this normal thing, right? And we just, as you were saying before, we don't challenge what we believe, or we don't challenge what we were taught, and so we get used to living a life that is perhaps, you know, as you were saying, a life in which we try to control everything but ourselves, or a life in which we are used to suffering because our expectations are never met, and or when a time of uncertainty comes, like the one that we are experiencing globally, and we are still attached to those old ways of thinking, or what we think should happen or shouldn't happen. So it's super interesting.
Yeah, definitely. It does come to the attachment of our way of doing things, our way of believing that the way things should be. And it's challenging. And unless we start to question, which I did not question that what I was believing is the way it should be, until I realized one day, I said, oh, it's not actually, he's not the one needing help. I need help, because I don't know how to deal with him. My way of thinking is not necessarily the way. I'm the one reacting to his behavior instead of coming from a place of love, understanding, compassion. I was the mother that was judgmental. I was criticizing him. I wasn't accepting him for his behavior, because I did not see that as acceptable at the time.
Yeah. And so, Mariana, this also then takes me now to, where do our beliefs come from? How do we come to believe what we believe in?
Wow. Well, first of all, when we are born, depending on the culture where we grow up, first of all, beliefs come from our parents, because they're the closest to us. Yeah. So they're the one looking after us. And we see them, we see our parents as... because we rely so much on them, we cannot look after ourselves as children. So they are the one looking after us. And we see them as, without them, we can't survive, obviously. And we cannot survive because someone needs to look after us. So whatever they say and whatever they do, we see that as that's what it is. And this is like kind of a top-down approach when it comes down from parenting, from religion, from education, from and it's that's the hierarchy. It's like they are greater than us, and we it's coming down as we in a way we are less than when it comes to parenting, because most parents think they know better. And for us to be able to keep safe, we kind of, in a way, go with what they are saying to keep ourselves safe. And then we take all these beliefs from our parents because we not question. To question is to rebel. And then if you rebel, and some of us do rebel, like my son, to question them, then you're not good, you're bad, because then it goes into this dichotomy. It's either good or bad, you're right or wrong. So very few rebel against the beliefs of their parents or question what their parents, because then you are in a way an outsider if you rebel to what your parents or what your culture or what your religion believe. So, and to fit in, then we gotta take that, and we believe that that's the belief, and we believe that that's what it is. And we don't question, and these beliefs get ingrained within us that we keep going with them all our lives, unless one day you think, hold on, is this actually true? What I believe, is this the reality that is, or it's my reality? And that's how I came to realize that the reality, that the beliefs that I was believing, it's not actually the beliefs that I thought it is. It wasn't the reality that is. It was my reality, because it was my belief, was my way of looking at things.
It was your lens. It was like that. That
was my lens. Definitely, totally my lens. I was looking through my lens, and I wasn't seeing anything ours, because I was conditioned to believe what I was believing, until slowly I start to peel over that and realize and that's there is another way. There is this way, but there is also another way. From love and compassion and understanding, without judging, without criticizing, without making things right or wrong, and coming from a place of acceptance.
I think that what you just said there is a key for us to be able to move forward in our world now, because due to the situation that we are experiencing now, that we will continue experiencing in different ways, you know, the uncertainty, the challenge, the diseases and all of that, we tend to want that everybody sees reality as we see it. And we kind of like create a lot of conflict, unnecessary suffering, unnecessary stress, because we just want everybody to believe the same thing that we believe. But if there is no awareness that what we believe in is might actually not even ours, it could be from our parents, grandparents, school, religion, etc., then we're gonna just keep repeating the same old story all the time. And before I let you talk, I just know also, Mariana, that you talk about something that I find fabulous, and it's the power of choice, you know? And I think that what you teach in that, it's, you know, transformational.
Yes, but I did not know there was another way. I did not know that I could choose to look at things a different way.
Yeah.
And having that realization in itself was really profound to me, at least. And we don't know what we don't know until we know that there is another way, and there is another way of looking at things. And that's what it comes down, unless we have the awareness, there is no way that we can look at things any other way but the way that we think that they should be. And once there is awareness and knowledge that there is another way, then, you know, then we, it's our choice to move on and change and do things differently, or stay stuck in the way we've been doing that and still suffer, because that's what it comes down to. So it does come to our choices, but without awareness, there is no choice in a way. You will still be choosing the old thing because you don't know any other way.
Yes, of course. And so would you say that the first step to change a belief is awareness?
You gotta first have the awareness that whatever you're thinking and whatever you question, if something is not working, if something is bothering you, if something triggers you, if something gets to you, we gotta understand that whatever, when we get triggered, it's nothing outside us that triggers us. It's actually something within ourselves, that either we believe in something, we're not acknowledging a part of us, something that was suppressed within us that is niggling us. And anytime we get triggered by something, most people react to it.
Yeah.
And those moments are the moments of learning. Those moments is an opportunity for growth. These moments, I mean, I went through 9 years of potential triggers on a daily basis until I looked into things and started looking at things differently. That was a long time. Because I did not see it. And those moments, the moments and the opportunity for God to stop and to ask, where is this coming from? What's the reason behind it? What's underneath that? Why is this bothering me? It could be as simple as someone saying something or doing something, the way they've done it, they voice. It can be anything. Anytime we get triggered, that's something that we gotta start questioning.
Yes.
Could be an underlying belief underneath it that is kind of festering underneath.
Of course. And it's that kind of like that, how can we call that? That ability to recognize that there's something that is not working, and to be curious enough to go into, you know, that rabbit hole of investigating and of finding out.
The thing is, most people don't want to go down to the rabbit hole because we've been conditioned, on the other hand, to suppress our emotions. And when it's something that's uncomfortable, a way we think that if we scream or we act things out, it's going to stop whatever the uncomfortable feeling that comes up. But that's not necessarily going to help in any way most of the time. And we will keep repeating the same pattern again and again and again unless we address it.
Yes.
So that's what it comes down to. And most of us, we do not, in a way, our emotions are not, we weren't taught to express ourselves, and that there is good, we were taught that there is good and bad emotions, where there is not good or bad emotions. Emotions are just is, feelings are just they are, there is no good or bad. But we grew up with the idea that, you know, it's sadness or grief is different than happiness and joy. So most people think, you know, one is good and the other one is bad. There is no good or bad. It's just is the emotions. But to understand and be able to process those emotions is different. And that's what it comes down now, being aware and have the knowledge and understanding where this is coming from, what's bothering us, what's triggering us, and what we can do about it.
Yeah, and I think that there can be a big gap sometimes between having the awareness and then the willingness to take action, you know, that to exercise that power of choice. I mean, we are going to exercise it anyway, whether we choose to take action or not, we're making a decision, but it's whether we exercise it for our own good.
Yes. Even when we're not choosing, we're still choosing not to choose.
Yes.
And that's still a decision not to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Once we have the awareness, then it's up to us at the end of the day if we choose to do something with it or not. And some people are not ready to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And when they are, at least they've got the awareness and they know that they can change things.
Yes. And so we have awareness, we have choosing to do something about it, then taking action. And then how do we maintain those new beliefs that we create? Or what happens after we create that change?
Well, it's a process. So becoming aware that we do have limiting beliefs and knowing where is that coming from and why we believe what we believe, then there is lots of different ways of changing. Some people go to trauma or are really sick and they change their beliefs. But do we really need to go through something that's traumatic, or do we need to wait until we get cancer, or do we need to wait until children end up having substance abuse or dropping out of school or something to be able for us to change? There is no need for that, but some people wait until there is something really drastic in their life, in a way, something really that's got a big impact on them to change. And in those moments, they can really change and make the decisions that say, this is enough is enough, and I'm not going to do that again. Otherwise, we can change things through meditation. We can change things by exploring why we believe and then have a conversation with someone to see things from a different perspective, to understand things from a different perspective. The other way is we can simply choose what we believe. Simply, if something is not working for us, we can choose a more empowering belief that's going to move us forward. Look at people in society that have possibly the success that you want, and you can ask yourself, what do they need to believe? What do they actually believe for them to be doing what they're doing and to be as successful as they are?
Yeah.
And then simply adopt those beliefs, because some beliefs are really empowering.
Yeah, yeah.
And if one person can do it, every single one of us can do it as well.
Definitely.
Like Bannister, I mean, until I think it was 1954, I think no one believed that someone can run a mile within less than 4 minutes. There is no way, because all the doctors, all the scientists thought that you will burst, your heart will stop if that's what's going to happen. And he didn't. He did not believe that. He believed that he could do it, and he done it.
Yes.
On I think it was on 6th of May 1954 that he done it. And within a year, I think another 12 people done exactly the same thing. But till then, no one believed that you can do it. And once he done it, other people. He opened the door for others to do it as well. So beliefs are really, really powerful.
Yes, yes. And I think I would also add to something that you were saying before around being able to do it, you know, like it I think it's important for us to be aware that it can take some time, but that is fine, you know, so long as we continue working on the awareness and on choosing to work on them and on taking action, of course.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing's going to happen unless we are willing to take action and do something about it. Absolutely nothing is going to happen unless there is this willingness to look at things from a different perspective, to change, to have the willingness to sometimes sit or being uncomfortable, because sometimes it's not comfortable, especially when you find when I did, I was like, so it's me. So and our beliefs, our limiting beliefs, can definitely have an impact on our work, on our confidence, on our ability either to do things or not to do things. If we doubt ourselves, they can also impact our health. Our beliefs impact our entire life at the end of the day, because we're either going to move forward or we're going to hold ourselves back. It all depends on what we actually believe, what we believe we can do, what we believe we can't do. And we can definitely sabotage ourselves. And especially when we say, I'm not, when we say I'm not, that is actually a lie, because before was said by us, it was said by someone else to us. So it was they believe, it's not our belief, but because that opinion existed in someone else before it was instilled in us that I'm not good enough, or I'm not capable, or... It was someone else's opinion. It wasn't ours, but we made it ours because we thought that they knew better, because we looked up to them. Either it could be a parent or a teacher or someone, an authority. And we take that as the truth, and it's actually not.
Yes. It's a fascinating topic, this one of beliefs, you know, like as you were saying, they affect us in all ways, but they can also change our lives if we decide to, if we choose to. And so Mariana, I know that you have something really cool for the audience that can help them dive deeper into this and find out about their beliefs and
other things. They can choose to download this, and it's a little document that explains a little bit about beliefs, 9 ways to discover your ultimate potential. Fantastic. And they get some statements and some questions so they can start thinking and see where are the limitations within themselves. Are they limiting themselves? Are there is limiting beliefs? What do they believe about themselves? And unlock their true potential. So I would say definitely question your beliefs to unlock the door to your potential that some people may be really holding themselves back. I know I did for a long time myself. So
thank you, Mariana. Well, thank you for that, because it's something that everybody can download. I will provide the link here, so you will be able to access it, and then they can, you know, work it out at home and start that process of curiosity, of exploration, of going down the rabbit hole, and of course improving lives and their lives and everybody else's, you know, because when we change, as you mentioned with your own life experience, when we change, then others can change too. So.
Definitely, once we change ourselves, then we can definitely see the ripple effect that's around us, because it really goes to everyone. It's not only us. It's us and everyone that comes within our life, everyone that we touch, everyone that we come in contact with. So, and it's a choice.
Yeah. Thank you, Mariana. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for sharing with us all that wisdom, because it really is. And I really appreciate that you opened up, you know, your story, your own story, your own personal life, a transformation, because that's inspiring. So thank you, Mariana. And thank you for your time. And I want to thank also all the audience and all the people who are joining us here in this interview. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we hope you got great value out of this. And please go and download Mariana's booklet. We could call it like that.
Discover your ultimate potential. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, until next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. I hope that you enjoyed and learned immensely from today's speaker. If you would like, you can also download the speaker's giveaway from the description of this episode. You just need to click on the link provided there. Also, if you're enjoying the content of this podcast, I would love to invite you to leave us a review on any of the platforms that you are listening from. You can also reach me at Laura, Laura, at theloveapproachproject.com and send me an email with any of your comments. I will love to hear from you. And so this is it. I will catch you next week. Thanks for joining us here once again. Bye-bye.